flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Ride at Home with Rich, brought to you by GAF Roofing. And now, here's your host, Rich Horace.
All right. Good Saturday afternoon, everybody. Rich Horace here. Thank you for joining me today on your show, the show that's all about you and your home. So I'm really most interested about what is happening around your house. A lot of rain, nasty weather today. We got exteriors day today, so we'll probably be talking a lot about water in your foundation, in your windows, your doors, leaking behind your siding. So what's going on around your home? You can call in today with any questions about maybe a remodeling project, DIY project you're doing, or any issues that you might have going on around your home right now. You can reach me at 314-241-9797 or from far away, 866-455-9797. And I have a great show for everybody today. I'm really excited. Besides your questions, we'll be talking all things exterior with my guest, Mosby Home Consultant, Josh Kranberg. So we will learn from Josh about windows, doors, all things exteriors. We can talk about some things about getting ready for fall and or winter. Yes, I'm very happy to say fall has arrived. It's been feeling pretty good out there, but I'm sad to warn you that winter is around the corner. It's on the way. Will you be ready for winter? Well, stay right here to find out if you will. Also, for my On the Road with Rich segment, I'm going to talk about some window leaks in a home with a brick exterior. Find out how to fix that forever and find out what my clients decided, you know, how to proceed for them and what was best for them in that education. And every Saturday, my Ride at Home hack, how to clean your cookware with a common household item. If you lost your scrubber, if you lost your sponge, you ran out, there's a very simple, easy way to do this with what you have right in your home. That'll be right smack dab in the middle of the show. So don't forget, any questions you have, that's what we're here for. If you have questions, comments, concerns, or maybe just some stories about what's been going on at your home, with your home, or issues with your home, give us a call again, 314-241-9797 or 866-455-9797. Now, let's get right into this with Josh. So, Josh, first off, I appreciate you taking some time out of your nasty, rainy Saturday and coming in and spending an hour with us and really educating some people with me. Thanks a lot.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And how you doing today?
I'm doing great. Got stuck behind a parade on my way in, but You know, it's Rock Hill, and I hope they had a good time. I felt bad for all the kids out there with their umbrellas and not getting to enjoy a good day. But
yeah, exactly. What a horrible day for a parade. That is a bummer for sure. So normally, Josh, I know this is your first time, and what I really like to do for probably more for me a lot than even the listeners, but we all like to get to know who we're talking with and the person. And I'm sure you've learned this is like what we do at Mosby. We want to do things outside of work. We want to get to know people. We want to have a great team. So I like to kind of start off just with some normal questions, find out about you, what you've done, your background, where you're from, have a little fun with it. So have you grown up where you're always in St. Louis?
Moved here in sixth grade from, it was Illinois, and lived in Kansas City as well. But I've done most of my significant growing up here in St. Louis. Was out in West County, the Ascension area. That's where my family grew up. And so I've spent most of my time here and just had a lot of great experiences with a lot of friends and family, and still went to CBC while I was for high school.
Yeah. So I lost a lot of soccer games to CBC in high school.
See, I was more of a basketball, football guy, but, gotcha. You know, I wasn't good enough to play soccer at CBC.
Yeah. Oh, no, they were good. Yeah, absolutely. They have a great track record at that for sure. So I know you've you worked a little bit in commercial constructions, you know, some of that end of construction. But can you just kind of, you know, tell us your background and what really got you into remodeling?
Well, I've always enjoyed remodeling. I've always enjoyed construction, doing stuff with my hands. You know, even when I was a younger kid, high school, and you know, I would do landscaping. I was always tinkering around with doing something, you know, if I could get my hands on it, taking it apart, putting it back together. You know, and just realized that was something I truly enjoyed. And as I, you know, as all the shows and everything, the fix and flips and things like that started happening, I really just truly enjoyed working with my hands and, you know, being able to build and be able to solve problems. And whether it was around houses that I had or with friends, and, you know, actually my mom is in real estate. And so there was a lot of times where she would have clients that needed help with something, and I'd go in there and I would help solve a problem for her if I could.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. You know, and that's kind of so what really got me started very early. I was actually in high school working at a Kentucky Fried Chicken, and I got my career in remodeling from Kentucky Fried Chicken because the owner was horrible, never fixed anything. We always had issues. He was always getting citations, and they finally ended up closing it down a few years later, and it's now a Taco Bell. But anyway, the ice maker line broke, and the manager was like, oh my God, like we're not going to have ice. Like what? And so I looked at it, and she gave me some money out of the register, and I went to Ace Hardware, and I'm like, you know, 16 or whatever, and I'm like, hey, here's what we got, here's what we have. And I just really, at the end of that, was like, that was really cool. Like, we're making ice again. I just saved the day, you know, and I like that better than flipping chicken.
Sure, absolutely.
In the long run. But yeah, that's how a lot of us get going, you know. So I have some really quick, easy, you know, fun lightning round questions that I would love to run through with you to find out a little bit more. So talk or text?
Text.
Okay. Legal pad or iPad?
Legal pad.
Oh, man. Note taker, huh? Like, dogs or cats?
Dogs, for sure.
Okay. Beach or mountains?
Mountains.
Thin crust or deep dish?
Thin crust.
Awesome. Barbecue or Mexican?
Mexican.
Sour or sweet?
Sweet.
I'm a barbecue guy myself. I love Mexican, but barbecue all the way. What's your favorite snack?
Beef jerky.
Favorite season?
Definitely like the fall, winter area.
Okay. And what's your favorite musician or band?
I'd say Dave Matthews is up there. Big fan.
Awesome. Awesome. So if you're running around St. Louis and you're going to be doing some stuff, where would you rather go, Fritz's or Ted Drew's?
Ooh, I'd say Ted Drew's for sure.
Cardinals or Blues?
Cardinals.
Arch or the City Museum?
City Museum, without a doubt. I've got a couple little girls, and they love it down there.
Yeah. Botanical Garden or the Zoo? This is the hardest one for everybody.
You know, I'd say the Botanical Garden just because they do all kinds of things throughout the season. You know, and some of those events that they do, there's constantly changing. You know, you get down to the zoo, and sometimes don't get me wrong, I love our zoo, but on a sunny day when it's real hot, wandering around the zoo can get a little bit tedious.
Yeah, yeah. So you heard mine. What was your first job?
My first job was, I actually was in restaurants and I was washing dishes. And,
oh, okay.
You know, then moved from washing dishes into actually landscaping and, you know, it was a summer job. So the dishwashing worked out for a while, but it just got a little gross.
Oh, yeah. So what was your first concert?
My Aunt Kit actually took me to Wham. And I mean, I wasn't a fan of them, but I can, when we're going back over, it sticks in my brain that that's the first concert. I actually use it sometimes for passwords.
Like a little George Michael. Awesome. So do you have any hidden talents?
Hidden talents. I'm a pretty good skier. I mean, awesome. I don't know if that would, I mean, in Missouri.
Oh, no, that's it. Yeah. Well, especially in Missouri, that's definitely kind of hidden.
Right.
Hidden here for sure. So. All right. Well, hey, that was a ton of fun. I love it. We're getting a little long on our time here, so we're going to get into our first commercial break here, but we'll jump into more with you on the exterior stuff, and I'll do my On the Road with Rich segment when we return right after this.
Do you have questions about your home? Call us at 314-241-9797 or 866-455-9797.
All right, we are back having fun with Josh here, one of Mosby's own home consultants, with me, joining me today. So we do have double the trouble, double your pleasure, however you want to put it. So double the advice. If you have something going on, like he said, feel free to call in, and we can help you through pretty much anything with your house. 314-241-9797. And speaking of calling in, we've got Andy on the line here. Let's get Andy going. Are you with us, Andy?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Thanks for calling in. What do you have going on for us today?
Yes, sir. I just bought a 2,000-square-foot house in West County. It has a 2,000-square-foot, really nice basement. And we'd like to do some additions into the basement, maybe put a bedroom down there, so we know we need an egress window.
Sure.
And, you know, an egress window is about $6,000. So can you kind of walk me through, you know, what I need to learn if I want to do it myself? We were going to hire like St. Louis Contracting cutting company. They were going to do it. And then we were just going to frame it out, get a window of our choice and get a window guy to come put it in. Plus do the window well. And then the drainage system, I think, is the most complicated on how does it drain below there. And that's really my question. What do I need to look out for?
Yeah, no problem. Definitely. The cutting, the drainage and the cutting are really the two biggest pieces, you know, so having a good concrete cutting company do that for you and making sure that, you know, planning and layout is a big thing on, you know, how big is the cut so that you can add the framing to fit the right sized window that's going to have the clear space opening that they're looking for. You know, it's got to be a certain width, certain height, and a certain size window. In order to have it, you know, qualify as egress. You will have to watch how high off the floor that is. There is requirements on it has to be so close to the floor. If it's any higher, it won't be considered egress. And then, of course, in most areas, St. Louis County, all of that, they do require drainage. So they won't allow window wells without some sort of drainage. So the two things you're looking for there is your window well. Well, one is going to have, you know, access out, ladder, steps, you know, some sort of way to be able to get out of that height. And then your drainage, they're going to either require a drain pipe that will run off and slope downhill. And if you're on a steep enough hill around your house, you can, you know, put it out to grade and you don't need a sump pump. If your land's too flat, then you'll have to put in an actual exterior sump pump outside. You'll need the electric, all the stuff for that. And then you can pump it out, raise the pipe, and then get the pipe running away from the house underground and going far away because you want that water to literally go far away. If you have an interior sump pump inside the basement already, I would not recommend bringing a pipe inside the house down to that interior sump pump. I just, I'm a big component of if it's outside, keep it outside, make it go away. Don't invite water in where you've got this interior drainage tile and sump pump. You're trying to keep water out. So I wouldn't advise bringing it in. And a lot of companies might recommend, oh, just bring it inside, and then your inside sump pump takes it out, and you got all this work going on, you know, that doesn't necessarily need to happen if you keep it all outside and protect the inside of the home. But this is a big topic that we talk about all the time of, you know, why it's good to leave this entire project to the pros. You got to be really handy or really into it and doing your research to make sure you get it right, because there will be permits required for this action too. And you'll have to have a way to show the county or the municipality, well, here's what I'm doing, here's the size window, and then they approve that, yes, this will all work and this will qualify for egress. So you might need to either do some sort of drawing or have somebody do some sort of drawing that shows here's exactly what's happening. And then that drawing can show the concrete company how big they need to cut their hole in the foundation and all of that.
Yeah, so I guess that's really great information, because I do have a sump pump right there. I was thinking about doing it, but I think I could also drain it too. And then do you do a horizontal window that comes inside, or do you do the 4x4 windows? And does the horizontal, just being horizontal, you know, make the space, the cutout smaller, make it cheaper, and make it less of a constraint on the concrete and the weight of it? And then do you do this on a window? You cut it out where there's already one of those little existing windows, or do you do it in between both the different windows?
So where you do it really just depends on your full basement design and where your bedroom's going to be. Most times we'll incorporate that into one of the existing windows where we just make it wider and lower, and you know, you incorporate it in there. But generally, and that's, you know, because the basement, the bedroom usually falls near those windows in the corner of the basement or on one side. And so it just kind of works out that way. And I don't know that we always have the space to fit one of these between two basement windows. That would be the other reason not. But if your basement windows are far enough apart, then yeah, you could, wherever it fits and works out in your bedroom layout plan for the, you know, for the basement, will work. So where you do it, you know, is more stipulated by where's your bedroom, where do you want the window in the bedroom for the bed and the dresser and all the stuff that goes in there, and then what's outside, you know, call
okay,
dig
so
right
saying the, all the of egress that has to be in the bedroom.
Yes,
I was going to put it, oh, so that's the rule, that the egress has to be in the bedroom. I was going to put it in like the open area, but it actually has to be in the bedroom.
Yeah, Josh is shaking his head over here. You got something on that one?
Well, what you're trying to do is you're trying to have a point for them to be able to get out in case there's a fire. And if you're closing off that door in the bedroom and whoever's in that room, but the fire's out in the main room, they're not going to be able to run out, you know, and you want to be able to have an exit point for that bedroom to be considered a bedroom.
Yep, and the permitting will say it needs to be inside the bedroom. So if it's not, then your basement won't pass.
Okay.
Yep.
That's great information. That's a lot to handle.
It is. And I've got a whole segment that I've done several times with several different other consultants that we have here at Mosby, where we literally talk about every step and how it's so important and why this is something that's really good to have done. If you have a pro that could do it 100%, that might be a piece that really, you know, is imperative. But and thinking about that basement design at the same time is kind of imperative too, to make sure it lands in the bedroom.
All right. Well, thank you, sirs.
Hey, no problem. Thank you, Andy. Great call. Great question. Really appreciate that for sure. You know, it's something we run into designing jobs and working through stuff, you know, all the time. You know, here at Mosby, we remodel a lot of basements, and we get into a lot of these egress windows and how you lay out that basement and everything else with it, you know, so we do a ton of that stuff. And, you know, speaking about, you know, Mosby, what we do, everything that we take care of, I did want to let everybody know again too, We are hiring still. There, you know, everyone hears about this labor shortage going on, and it's so hard to hire, and we've been looking for another licensed architect, and we are looking for everything through remodeling, from plumbers and electricians and carpenters and lead carpenters and all these positions. Super great place to work. We'll talk a little bit more about how awesome it is and everything that we do here with Josh after we get through our middle break coming up here. But I did want to put that out there that, you know, we do a lot of things here education-wise, webinars, different things like that. So you can go to our website, find out information on the positions available, whether it's drafting, carpentry, anything like that. We've got it all. Check out our website at callmosby.com, callmosby.com. We will be right back after these messages.
And now, here's Rich's Right at Home Hack.
All right, here we go. We're back. Got my Right at Home Hack for everybody there. So if you have a dirty pot pan or a kitchen appliance that, you know, it's all stuck with gunk and everything, and you've run out of those tough scrubbers, not a problem if you have aluminum foil in your kitchen. So if you haven't seen it, there's a video that went viral out there, and it's someone cleaning a cooking pan from their air fryer with aluminum foil, and it works like a charm. It was amazing. So basically just crumble up a piece of aluminum foil, coat it with the cleaning solution that you have, and just attack the grime. Just scrub it off there just like it's a sponge or any kind of scrubber. The foil, it not only cleans like a charm, but it also, it didn't leave a scratch on the cookware, and it just kind of shined it up perfectly, and it was so perfect and clean looking in the end. So this is a quick, cool, little easy way to get through that. So I hope that helps out for everybody. And if you're looking to hear this or any of my weekly hacks, you can find them all on my social media on Facebook. Just simply search Mosby Rich Orris for Facebook. It'll take you right to it and get you there. So we're going to get back to our regular 97.1 programming with Josh Kranberg here today with me. And Josh, I'm kind of excited because you've got some commercial background, and I think something that I'm really interested in, we talk about the difference in Mosby and what we do in design and residential and all this stuff, but, you know, what do you feel, or what have you noticed working here now is the biggest difference from commercial to Mosby Building Arts?
One of the biggest things that I've noticed from the commercial side was, you know, you're dealing with where you think that you're building that relationship with an owner of a company. And then after you get through, you're talking to whoever you need to talk to, then you come across that they're actually owned by a property management company. And so what you think that you've started to build a relationship about, then it turns over and all of a sudden you have to give three different bids on something, or you're dealing with, you know, a management company that's based out of Chicago that they're just really looking at their bottom line. And, you know, if you don't come in correct, or you have someone, you know, it becomes a bidding war to a certain extent. And, you know, you really don't have the chance to where you feel like you're helping people out. And, yeah, you know, getting back into home remodeling, you're really seeing the people, they're coming, they're calling Mosby because they've got a problem. And, you know, you get to walk into that person's house and, you know, you're able to commit and connect to that person. And you're the one that's, you know, there's not going to be another person that's going to be making a decision, maybe other than a spouse or, you know, if there's another family member involved. But most of the time you're walking in and talking to exactly who you need to, and you're helping them out. That just makes you feel good.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, payment wise, too, there's in that commercial thing, you know, years and years ago when I worked with my father and we did real estate management stuff, and we did a lot of apartment maintenance, and we did remodeling, and we did some remodeling for a real estate company that would basically buy out the second mortgage, we'd remodel the place, and then they would sell it and you know, cover both mortgages so that they don't lose money on properties that people foreclosed on and stuff. And exactly what you said, so the company was based out of Chicago. And we dealt with somebody in St. Louis right up until it it was time to get money.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're like dealing with these people in Chicago, and they were such slow pay. And they started getting so far behind that my dad, and of course this was, you know, I'll date my age here though, but like fax was like the biggest thing you had that I remember. Oh, they got so far behind at one point, he just sent the lady a fax from that company every single morning. First thing he did every day when he got in, now you're 91 days, now you're 92 days, now you're 105 days. And then finally, she came into town to see some of the properties and things that we've done and do all this. And the only thing she had to say to him was, oh, you're the guy that faxes me every day.
That's know? Too funny. You're exactly right. The terms on some of those loans and the contracts, you know, or not loans, but the contracts were so far out.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're not even, it's not a personal thing, you know, and that's where the remodeling industry, and especially working with Mosby, it makes it so personal. You know, you could be walking away from a job that you've worked 3 months on in the commercial side, and it's going to come down to here's the number and here's the number. And
yeah.
It doesn't even matter the relationship. And, you know, the relationship's huge.
Yeah. And I think you really just kind of in the same one answered my next question was, you know, about, yeah, you know, what do you really appreciate now that you're here with Mosby and you're doing this, about going out and helping people with their remodeling needs? You know, what's your favorite thing kind of being able to do that with them? Sounds like the relationship.
Well, the relationship's huge. And, you know, one of the things I like with Mosby is how the whole process starts with them. You know, it's geared toward getting to know the customer, making them a customer, and really getting them to trust in you. And there's so many people out there that are doing remodeling that it's hard to get them to come back and finish something, or it's hard to get them to be around after the job's done. And, you know, those are concerns that people have. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, I feel confident with Mosby is the longevity that we have and just the process that we go through to make sure that everything, all their needs are taken care of. And, you know, that they know that they've got, you know, myself or the project manager or, you know, the whoever they talk to, there's always someone that they can get in touch with if they've got a problem. And, you know, that's one of the things that I've learned most with Mosby. It's just building that relationship and being very upfront and clear in the very beginning. And, you know, having this be able to solve the problem that they called us in for.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And so what do you really appreciate the most about being here, but Mosby, the company, and working for the company, you know, client aside, what we do, everything else, what do you appreciate the most about how Mosby's run and how they help you out?
I know that it's going to get done correctly. And, you know, even if I come into a situation where I don't know the answer to it, knowing that there's a project manager that, you know, the longevity of most of the people that have been there.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think yourself included, you came, you know, you had the field experience and then the home consultant experience. And I feel like there's people, most everyone's been there at least 10 years plus, you know, and so they've seen all these projects go through. And so I can help that person get the solution if I don't know it by a simple phone call. And that's the thing I love is that, you know, I can call someone if it's project manager, if they're not busy doing something, they'll answer that phone. And, you know, I can sit down and go through an estimate to make sure that I've got something covered. Maybe if I didn't know, you know, some aspect of it, or they'd done a similar project and they came across this as an issue, you know, it's the experience and the knowledge that's in that office. It's a continual growing experience for me every day coming in and being able to work through a project and talk to some of those guys.
Oh yeah, no, that's awesome. And the team, you know, what I've always called for years, the deep bench is what I like to call it. It's, you know, I wish I knew everything, you know, it'd be nice. You know, a little bit about everything, but you don't really know everything about all of it. But, you know, there is so many different people and so many people to rely on. You can always go back into that deep bench and go, all right, hey, wait a minute. You know, how can I proceed with this? And I'm into something that I haven't seen a whole lot of. And there's, yeah, like you said, there's so many of us. There's, you know, over around 130 people in this company. So we have actually four of us this year that have getting their 20-year anniversary in this year alone. So yes, there's knowledge that goes far back beyond me and everybody that does help out. And, you know, years ago, and I probably need to talk to Scott Russum about this because we should probably do this again. Years ago with a bunch of us consultants, we did an exercise in our training, and the exercise was answer the question, what do you do in one word? What's your job? What do you do for people? You know, like what in a one word answer, and everybody was a little bit different on how they feel and work and position themselves and stuff. But, you know, in always trying to be a good advisor in the education, they're always, you know, pushing into us, advise well, you know, really get the answers out there. Then yes, I said, I'm an educator.
Or I'd probably say I'm a helper.
You know,
yeah. I mean, that's same thing. I think just different wording a little bit.
We had one of the other consultants said, I'm a counselor.
Okay.
And he was kind of like husband, wife, working through designs, you know, doing all this stuff. And he's like, I'm counseling them.
Sure.
To get on the same page and to work things out because everyone's different, you know. And I was like, that's a really interesting one. But to me, yeah, it's like really educate, explain everything, give people the option to say yay or nay or whatever and really let them know and understand what they're up against. And then they can just help make a good educated decision. And some people don't do that at times, I think, because they think about money and they go, well, oh my gosh, like, yeah, sure, that's a better way to do it, but no one's ever going to pay that. And I'm like, you don't know that. You don't know what someone sees the value in.
Well,
you know, I go car shopping. I would never think someone would pay $300,000 for a vehicle, but they're out there and they drive them, right? Right.
Oh, absolutely. And I think so, in that same logic, you know, you sit down with a husband and wife couple and the wife has this idea and the husband has this idea, you know, and you're there to bring those two together, but they might be completely off on completely different sides, you know, and she might not necessarily want to say something, he might not necessarily want to say. So being able to bridge that communication is huge.
Yep. So we're gonna get into our break right here before the last segment. When we come back, I'm gonna get into my On the Road with Rich segment. I ended up missing with the phone call and everything because there's a lot of education, I think, in that, and it'll help explain a lot of the things that we're trying to do and do very well out there. So we'll get into that and any calls that you may have or any questions when we return right after this. Right, we are back. Final segment of the show. This is just, it flies, doesn't it, Josh?
It does. I was nervous going in today. I really was. I mean,
yeah.
I had notes galore prepared, and here we are halfway through.
And one phone call, and now you're at the end of the show. And so something I for sure wanted to get into in talking about that education and different things and talking with Andy about, you know, the water management on that egress window and the things you got to watch for. So I visited last Monday, a good repeat client of ours. They moved here from Texas and we did a big remodel job for them, did some really cool, like hand scraped distressed beams and stuff. They were showing me inside the house and everything. And they've got some windows they want to replace and they've had a leak and they've been looking at every window line, every window company. They've had all the different manufacturers out. They've talking to 5-6 different people. They actually replaced a window in their bathroom with a vinyl window from another company. And they weren't happy with that very much because they didn't do a full frame replacement. They did kind of like a pocket insert. They left a lot of the frame and of course, vinyl windows, it really shrinks down that visible glass. Well, then you don't take the existing full window frame and everything out. And now it's really getting smaller. And so they're asking about, you know, they don't want the leak to come back, but they also don't want to lose a lot of glass like the other guys did and everything. And, you know, boy, the surprise in their eyes when I started really looking at that house and talking about how you actually install a window the best way possible. And of course, the whole outside is brick. They're fully encased in brick, brick all the way up the gable and everything. And I'm like, and it's two-story stacked windows, you know, tall, you know, 18-foot tall living room. And of course, that's where all that water comes from. The top window, it gets behind the brick, the caulk, the siding. It runs down. It gets to that first floor window. Everybody thinks, oh, I got a leak at my first floor window. They change the first floor window, and then the leak comes back. And I've seen so much of that. So I'm explaining to them, you know, how you get a new construction window in, why we would actually, if it's vinyl siding, why would we always take the siding off when we change a vinyl window, and how we wrap it and flash it. And their house was built in the 90s. And I even explained to them, you know, in the middle 90s, I put Tyvek on just like everybody else. Wrong, incorrect, not the best method. It's how we were taught. It's what we knew and then learned later, like, holy cow, like, there's a much better way to do this. And man, they, you know, and so the 100% proper way to do it, to get the Mosby 10-year workmanship warranty that includes that window never leaking again, we have to take brick off the house. And they're like, oh my, yeah, that's different. Like, you know, cause like vinyl siding, I'm like, yeah, we pop it off. We stack it, we label it, we number it, we put it all back. We can flash and do our thing. Well, brick's not so easy, you know?
Well, I think that's what you're going to come across with the difference of choosing the contractor. You know, who's going to do it the correct way to solve the problem? You know, and do they have the knowledge to do that?
And so I'm sure you running around see this sort of thing just like me. It's like, it's easier to count the times you don't see it than the times you do see it, you know? But so... bottom line, at the end of the whole conversation, and like, this is an educational thing, and now you can put it in, you know, without all that, and you basically you caulk it to the brick, and you are 100% reliable on caulk. You know, you need to look at that caulk like every year, check it,
absolutely,
seal the brick. Like, put sealer on the brick that you can't see, but it helps keep that moisture and stuff, you know, out. It lets the brick breathe, but it keeps it out. And another thing he asked me was about the lintels. He's like, well, they're kind of nasty looking. So, you know, someone said cover them up. You know, they can cut. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So, right?
How are you to cover them up? I mean, just.
I literally have photos of a house. I've been doing this so long where they did. They covered them up. They took a piece of like a vinyl soffit material because it's got that lock like the U, and they cut it and they wedged it on there and then they caulked it and it looked fabulous. It directed the water straight into the house. Every window had water stains at the top of the window and they couldn't figure out why. And it was because... the trapped. Lintel is where the water comes out.
And they trapped it in there.
And they trapped it in there, and it went around the lintel and sent it shoop, straight back into the house. So, again, his eyes were like, oh, okay. I'm like, never cover a lintel. Scrape it, sand it, paint it. Just don't cover it. Just don't caulk it. That's why they put, like, the little, you know, you see the rope sticking out with the weep holes. And,
yep.
But, and that's the thing. I was like, so when I answered that question, I'm an educator, you know. So at the end of that conversation, and we talked about what it cost, you know, so window replacement, they were already like, holy cow, window replacements, we're going with a wood clad. These are expensive as it is. Well, you're going to be here, you know, with all brick coming off and all of this. So they literally chose the method of, you know, give me some maintenance. You know, and I talked to him about how we can set up a maintenance thing.
Sure.
You call us every year, have us come out, we'll inspect the caulk, we'll get a ladder, we'll check those second floor windows, we'll put sealing the brick in there for you, we'll get all those extra steps in, and then you can at least know you're as far as you can be without going to the full thing. Now, you're going to have a little thing that says you get a one-year workmanship warranty against leaks, because I can't say I'll never come back and in 10 years this is going to be just like this, because caulk fails, but they know that. They're great with that. They're like, yep, you know what? We're good with that, you know, and we'll keep up on the maintenance, and thanks for letting us know what we were up against. So,
and we're going to be around, you know, in that 10 years or however long, you know, that contract is, to be able to do the maintenance for them. You know, that's one of the things that you can ensure, is that because we've been around for as long as we have, you know, that we're going to put those in place, that we're going to be there to follow through on everything that we've described to them in that process.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that's something I explain to people all the time is against places that I work, like, you know, talking about a difference in that commercial to this company and residential and stuff. Well, even a lot of the residential places that I worked, their plan for warranty was to call me up and say, can you stop on your way home and look at this window?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I guess. What am I going to do when, you know, what am I going to do to it? It's the end of the day. You know, I'm going to show up. So basically, the owner of the company calls, says, hey, go, there's like a leak or something. She's saying, go by and look at this window and see what's wrong with it. And so I go by there and I go, yeah, it's leaking. Well, of course, it's 1995 and we're installing windows just like every other company out there. So if you get wind-driven rains and everything, it just happens. So then I leave. Yeah, we should probably take care of that for you. And I leave. And about 3 weeks later, they're calling back going, was something going to happen to this? Well, what did you think I was going to do? You know, like there's, so at Mosby, there's like a budget. There's a plan. We think about that. We've got Doug that goes out and takes care of a lot of this stuff and or schedules other people when they know. He'll look at it. He'll evaluate it. He'll figure it out. And we've got everything there that we need to do it. It's a great feature for everybody. So, hey, I really appreciate you coming in today.
Thanks.
See how quick and easy and fast this was?
I'm kind of wishing we'd go longer.
Yeah, exactly. So this we've got tons of material we'll have to get back to at another time. I'll have to have you back at a later date.
I'd love
to,
anytime.
Had a lot of fun. Appreciate it. And for everybody else out there, have a good weekend. Try and stay dry, and I will talk to you next week.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.